All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarariva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Can you hear me loud and clear? Everything good? My producer back there. So, we have right now 14 people online attending the program. Only two have signed in. We have Roxana from Lima, Peru, and Vijay from London. As they sign in, I will introduce them to you. So I'd like to read now a very, very nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge which we call the Vedas. The Vedas give us all the knowledge necessary to achieve perfection in this human form of life. The Srimad Bhagavatam picks up from where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us to exclusively worship Krishna. Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita that He is the Supreme Lord. Although there may be many gods, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna points out that He is supreme and that all the other gods are subordinate to Him. And at the end, Krishna commands, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashyami Ma Shucha. Krishna says that you should exclusively take shelter of Me, Krishna. And if you do so, I will deliver you, I will save you, I will protect you from all kinds of sinful reactions. Ma shuchaha. Don't hurry. Don't hesitate. Don't fear. Ma shucha. Everyone say those two words. Please repeat. Don't worry. Don't hesitate. Don't fear. In other words, immediately we should surrender. And Lord Chaitanya points out how to surrender. You surrender by raising your hands and repeating after me, both hands, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Srimad Bhagavatam picks up from that point where we surrender to Krishna. Since you have raised your hands and chanted the Maha Mantra, you have surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, I ring the bell. Very good. And I'm sure my followers on the internet have also chanted the Maha Mantra. And we have 15 devotees on internet. And we've been joined by Sonam in Dallas. So it's very nice. So, there is a very nice verse by Krishna. That same Krishna who speaks Bhagavad Gita, he also speaks many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, here is a nice statement that Krishna made to his great devotee Uddhava. Uddhava is a very special devotee Because he looks almost exactly like Krishna. When the gopis of Vrindavan first saw him, at first they thought, oh, Krishna has come. But then they could, oh, it's not exactly Krishna, but he looks almost like Krishna. So, just before Krishna went back to the spiritual abode where he eternally resides, before he returned, he had a nice instruction and conversation with Uddhava. It's a very big section of the Bhagavatam. Starts with chapter 5, ends, I think, in chapter 29. So, many chapters. So, many things Krishna instructed Uddhava, but here is something that I think is one of the best. So I want you to listen and please repeat. Please repeat. Nridehaṁ adyaṁ sulabhaṁ sudurlabhaṁ plavaṁ sukalpam Guru Karanadharam. He's doing very good. You are doing excellent. Let's give him a big hand. You remind me of Prahlad, the great devotee Prahlad. Therefore, I give you a nickname, Kush Prahlad. Next word, Mayanukulena. Nabasvate ritang Puman Bhavadhing Natarait Saatmaha. Okay, now I'll chant the whole shloka. You just listen. Nirdeham adyang sulabang sadlulabang Plavang sukalpang gunukaran nadharam. Mayanukulena navasvateritam. Puman bhavadhing nataret saatmaha. Alright? Now we do the word for word. So please repeat. Nri. Human. Deham. Body. Adyam. The source of all favorable results. Sulabham. Effortlessly obtained. Sudurlabham. Although not possible to obtain, even with great endeavor. Plavam. A boat. Sukalpam, extremely well suited for this purpose. Guru, having the spiritual master. Karnadharam, as the captain of the ship. Maya, by me. Anukulena, with favorable. Navasvata. Winds. Iritam. Impelled. Puman. A person. Bhava. Of material existence. Abdhim. The ocean. Na. Does not. Tarait. Crossover. Saha, he or she. Atmaha, the killer of one's own soul. Very good. So please repeat the translation while Vatuk gets ready to sing with the harmonium. I'll speak for a few minutes and then we will be delighted by the nice singing of Batuk Maharaj. And I'm glad to see his better half and his good son have come. Makes me very, very happy to see them. Please repeat. The human body, which can award all benefit in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain, and the instructions of the personality of Godhead,
and the instruction of personality of Godhead,
as favorable winds impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages,
a human being
who does not utilize his or her human life to cross over the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of one's own soul. So right now we're going to hear the chanting of Batuk one more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So, some of you have just arrived. We welcome you. And we have just previously heard a verse from Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And we read the word-for-word meanings. We read the translation. Now I'd like to explain. And after I do a short explanation, then Meenakshi will be our next chanter. Are you ready to chant? Yes? All right. But nobody brought a mridanga? Why nobody brought a mridanga? Well, you should not depend on others. I come, see how much equipment I bring? Good, yes, I was going to notice that, yes, you brought. Very good. Okay. So before I explain, everyone repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the first line of this verse by Krishna, Krishna says, the human body which can award all benefit in life. And the reason why Krishna is saying that is because it is only in the human form that you can make progressive spiritual advancement. We learn from Lord Chaitanya's own mouth that there are 8,400,000 different species of life. Only 400,000 are considered human. And out of those 400,000, only a small percentage can be considered civilized. The civilized section are called Aryans. The Aryans are those who have progressive spiritual advancement as the priority of their life. So in human life, you have every opportunity for perfection. You have enough facilities to perfect your life. And Krishna says it's automatically obtained. Yes. Because there's a gradual evolution. Once you take a birth lower than human, either as an animal, aquatic, insect, plant, reptile, in the other lower species, birth after birth, you automatically evolve to a higher one. And after millions of such births, automatically, No matter who you were or what you did, no matter what happened, eventually everyone gets a chance again as a human being. In the Christian philosophy, they only give you one chance. That's it. You get one chance. If you blow it, go to hell forever. Yes, exactly. But in Krishna's philosophy, you get as many chances as you need. Eventually, you will come in the human form. And that is why it says, although it is a very rare achievement, because you have to wait millions of lifetimes. So therefore, since you are human beings now, don't waste the opportunity. Because if you misuse your current human life, you can go back down again. For instance, I don't know if it's still true, but when I was his age, in second grade, there was one student in the class who didn't graduate to third grade. He was so bad, he had to redo the second grade the next year. He didn't get promoted. I don't know if that's still true. So the same way, as a human being, if you do not behave, if you misuse, you don't come back as a human being. You get demoted. Another example, if you break the law, like yesterday, the big news was that Sandusky, you heard about this? He was guilty 45 counts. He'll never come out of prison. He's an old man. He is in prison for the rest of his life for the crimes he did. So Krishna also has a crime system. It's called, oh, I gave you human birth, you misused it. Oh, you ate anything you wanted to eat? Okay. Punishment? Take birth as a hog in India. Eat whatever you like. Oh, I gave you human birth and all you wanted to do was sleep? Next birth, take birth as bear, polar bear. Sleep in the nice, cold, icy. Sleep as long as you like. Oh, all you wanted was sex? Take birth as pigeon. You can have sex 3 times in the hour. Take birth as sparrow or monkey. Monkey. Oh, you want to have many wives? Okay, be a monk, gorilla. You can have 6 dozen wives. You wanted intoxication? You like to drink? Take birth as ant. And you'll get intoxicated on sugar. Or a mosquito. I know for a fact. Because one day, I was chanting japa at LA Temple in the morning. And a mosquito came. And I was chanting. So I let the mosquito do his thing. And I was watching him. I was chanting to the mosquito. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the mosquito, he has a nozzle. Like a syringe. His body is like a syringe. And his nose is like the end of the syringe. And so he stuck it in the vein. And then he started to suck. And the syringe-like body of the mosquito, I could see it, fill up with blood. And then when his belly was full, he flew off. But he flew like this. He was intoxicated with the blood. Don't drink alcohol. You may become a mosquito. So if you misuse this rare gift of human birth, then Krishna through Durga Mata. Yes. Durga Mata is Krishna's servant. Krishna dictates, give that rascal the body of a dog. Let him bark all he wants. All right. That's what Durga Mata does. She gives you the appropriate birth, how you used your human body. Therefore, what is the proper use of human body? Self-realization. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Everyone say. That is what human life is for. And the way you can easily improve your self-realization is to come to programs like this. This program is called a program for self-realization. This is what we call a self-realization fellowship. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come here. So it is very good that you came. And we're doing this program in honor of our new doctor-to-be. May he become a self-realized doctor in this lifetime. Let us bless him. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Part 1 to be continued. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So for those of you who have just arrived, thank you very much for coming. We're hearing Krishna speak to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very powerful verse, and we are dissecting it little by little. In this next line, please repeat, this human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain, and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds impelling it on its course. So the course we already described, the course is self-realization. And the end result of self-realization is to return, that's the key word, return back to Godhead. Prabhupada uses these words not once, not twice, or three times. He uses these phrases over and over and hundreds of times. Prabhupada was very, very clear on this. Return back to Godhead. Meaning, that's where you came from. Just like after the program, after you take prasad, what are you going to do? You're going to get in your cars and go back to your homes. So similarly, the end result of self-realization is to go back from where you originally came, the spiritual world. Now, this material existence in many places is compared to an ocean. Taraha Bhava Sindure, a song we sing many, 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 many times. And that song, what is the line? Because it fits in exactly with this verse, right? Durlabha Manava Janma Satsange. That the whole purpose of human life is satsanga, the association of devotees. This is what we're doing. This is why I have been doing these programs since 1994. Weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend. Thanks to my wife. Thank you for allowing me the ecstasy. Let's give her a big hearty bowl. She has her service, as she tells people, her service is that she gives me to you. That's her service to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. So, material existence, Taraha e Bhava Sindure, is like an ocean. There are different waves in the ocean. Goodness, passion, ignorance, constantly coming, going, overcoming each other. So when you're in the ocean, to cross the ocean, are you going to swim? Anybody here? Say you want to go to Hawaii on a vacation. Are you going to swim? No. If you're going to go, you'll either take a plane or maybe a nice boat ride, cabin cruiser, like that. So Krishna gives the analogy to Uddhava that to cross the ocean of material existence, there's a boat. That boat is this, your body. Okay? Because what's the first thing you learn in Bhagavad Gita? Hiran. What's the first thing you learn in Bhagavad Gita? You're not the body. Right. So if you're not the body, what are you? Soul, exactly. So the soul is in the boat being the body. Now, what does Krishna say? The spiritual master is the captain. So don't say, oh, I don't need a spiritual master in this. No, you do. Krishna is saying here that if you want to cross the ocean of material existence, you have the boat, but you need a captain. You're not the captain. That's, if you think you're the captain, that's foolishness. Right? You need a captain. The captain is the spiritual master. Grandfather of the house, Jai Krishnadas, has shown by example, he has accepted a spiritual master. Though everyone in this family under him should follow his example and accept a spiritual master as the captain of your boat. We all have a boat. You have a boat, I have a boat, as we all have bodies. You need a captain. You need a spiritual master. Then the next thing, Krishna says, and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds, because the boat with sails needs wind. No wind, you're not going nowhere. You need winds. And you need favorable winds. So those favorable winds is known as Krishna Shiksha. Krishna's instructions. Arjun, where would I find Krishna's instructions? What book? What's that? Are you paying attention? Not good. All right, let's see who's paying attention. Nimai Charan, what book will give me Krishna's instructions? Bhagavad Gita, everybody say. Now, how many of you are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? Whoop, the hands went down. Right. You need to read Bhagavad Gita every day so that you will get favorable winds to help you on your course back home, back to Godhead. You need a captain. There are three kinds of captains. There is a Vartma Pradarshaka captain who points you in the right direction. There is Shiksha captain who gives you instructions, and then there is Diksha captain, just like Meenakshi Rajarani Devi Dasi. Last week she accepted His Holiness Jaipataka Maharaj as the captain of her boat. Very good. Everyone should have at least one, two, or best all three of these captains. And there should be no disagreement. Or if they're real captains, they'll all say the same thing. Go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we have 21 devotees online for your program. We're tied with Dallas for second place. And we're ahead of Los Angeles. But we can't compete with Mayapur. They have 124. But we're doing good. If we're tied for second. Oh, we just dropped to third. All right. But there's somebody in England, Vijay. He loves the way we're doing it with the chanting in between the speaking. So let's say Hari Bol to Vijay. And then there's somebody who just newly joined our group. She's related to Nandini Radha. Do you know who's Nandini? Her name is Monica Sharma. So let's give a big Hari Bol. And my good friend in Panama, Shyamachandra and Radhe, they are listening. Let's say Hari Bol. Okay, so let us continue with our understanding of this verse. This is the last point of this verse. So the last thing Krishna is saying in this verse to Uddhava, considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his or her human life to cross over the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of one's own soul. So this needs to be explained, because we learn from Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be killed. That was one of the arguments Krishna gave to Arjuna why he should fight the battle. He said, don't worry, the soul cannot be killed, and it can't be killed by any weapon. Not by fire, not by water, not by air, wind. So, what is Krishna saying? The killer of one's own soul. Because the soul cannot be killed. Well, the explanation is, the soul's whole purpose of material life is to, as we said in the beginning, go back home, back to Godhead. The material creation has two purposes. People ask, what is the purpose of this material creation? Well, it has two purposes. One purpose is to give those who want it full facility to go to hell. For those who don't want self-realization, for those who don't want to go back to Godhead, those who simply want to enjoy their body, Krishna gives you full facility. So that's one purpose of the creation. You have freedom. You can do whatever you like. You can either enjoy this material world and eventually wind up in hell. The other purpose of the creation is the real intended purpose, self-realization, going back to Godhead. So, according to Krishna's estimation, if a human being getting this human form of life does not utilize it for self-realization and instead goes down deeper and deeper into lower species of life, that is what Krishna means by killing the soul. It means you've misused, you've squandered the opportunity. I'll give you a practical example. A father may give his son some money. The father has much money, but to a young son, the father doesn't give the whole bank account. The father wants to see, I'll give him some money. Let me see how he utilizes it. So when you're little, like when I was a little boy, my father would give me an allowance, 25 cents. That was a lot of money back then, especially for a kid, back in the 50s. Nowadays, a quarter is a quarter. I want a dollar, man. What is a quarter? Anyway, back then, a quarter was something. So, when my father saw that all I was doing with the money was buying candy, then my father was thinking, I'm not going to give him much more. Or if I got the money from my father, and then I go back to him and say, Dad, you know, I need to get this, I need to do this. And my father said, well, I gave you money, what did you do with it? Oh, I bought some records. Why he should give me more money? I squandered what he gave me. So, in the same way, Krishna gives us this human form of life. Krishna wants to see, what did you do with it? How did you utilize this boon of the human form of life? What did you do with it? If at the end, the record shows, oh, this person didn't do anything pious, didn't do anything religious, didn't do anything spiritual. This human being simply exploited my material energy. Ah, he wasted his life. He's the killer of his own soul, because the whole purpose is liberation, salvation. Just like, say for instance, you wind up in prison. The goal is not to stay in prison. The goal is to get out of prison. That's the goal. Not to remain. So, in another place, in other places, this human form of life or material existence is compared to a prison. The goal is not to remain here. The goal is to get out, to go back home, back to Godhead. There is a very powerful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Nehabi krama nashosti pratyan vayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. That this Krishna consciousness can be the thing that will save you from the greatest danger. What is the greatest danger? That greatest danger is to miss the opportunity of human life. So my message, Krishna's message, don't be atmaha. Everyone say that word. Don't be a killer of the soul. In fact, in the Ishopanishad, it says in the third verse, the killer of the soul must enter the planets of darkness. The killer of the soul goes to hell. Even on this earth, there are examples of hell. How many people want to take their next birth in Darfur? Huh? Anybody? Who wants to go on vacation to, let's say, Baghdad? Anybody want to take a vacation? Who? To Baghdad? I didn't think so. Where are people? People want to take a vacation to a nice place, resort, or if you are spiritual, you want to go to a dham. How many people want to take their next birth in the slums of Calcutta? Anybody looking forward to that? Right? No. You want to get your next birth good, auspicious birth. So even, or how about this? Who wants to take their next birth in Antarctica? Ah. No, you don't want these kinds of births. You want a good auspicious. So even on this planet Earth, there are hellish situations. So Krishna is pointing out, you have the opportunity. You have this human form of life. Now make the best use of it. And you make the best use of it when you engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And that should be done every day. How many times do you eat a day? Three. My wife eats three times. So at least three times a day you should be feeding the soul by hearing and chanting. We even have one prayer. Dayang stubang sasya yasas tri sandhyam. Three times a day we remember the captain of the ship. Three times. Morning, noon, and evening we remember the captain and the captain's instructions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And now we will hear, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, you have heard from me, now you will hear from Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, where Arjuna says, Shishyastaham Shadimang Tuang Prapanam, that now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. So Prabhupada's purport to that verse is most appropriate to everything I have been saying in the previous part of the program. So I would want you to listen with rapt attention, because we sing every day, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arana Korihomane Ash. I simply want to hear the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master, and I don't want anything else. So I beg you to please hear with rapt attention, as Prabhupada will brilliantly explain the essence of tonight's teachings. If you're ready to proceed, say Jai Prabhupada. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. Now Prabhupada goes further. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the perplexed man is described as follows. Yova etad aksharang gargya vidvasmal lokat praitisa kripanaha. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human, and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahman, or one who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. Ya etad aksharam gargi vidatvasma lokat praiti sa brahmana. The kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children, and other members on the basis of skin disease. The kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from danger were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand his duty was to fight and that duty was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge his duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. Arjuna offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. Arjuna wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious. And now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet, foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and his without. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. And in adding to what Prabhupada just said, Prabhupada mentioned the method of how Juna accepted Bhagavad Gita is explained in Bhagavad Gita itself. Arjuna had two qualifications. Please repeat. Bhakto sime sakacheti. Arjuna had two qualifications, and that's why Krishna spoke to him Bhagavad Gita. He was Krishna's devotee and he was Krishna's friend. Every one of us should come to that stage and say to Krishna, I am your devotee and I am your friend. Let's all do that. Bhakto sime sakacheti. And then, also in Bhagavad Gita, there comes the point where Arjuna says to Krishna, yes, you are the Supreme. You are God. And not only I am saying that, but many great authorities, Vyas, Narada, they also say the same thing. We should also come to that point. And then, the most important thing Arjuna says, when Krishna finishes Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, I've told you everything. Now you decide what you want to do. Free will. Free will. So what does Arjuna say after Krishna finishes? Arjuna says, yes, I will act according to your direction. Just like the parents, because you are good, pious, devotee parents, you also want your children to follow your good advice, don't you? You don't want your children growing up to be rapper, hip-hopper gangsters, do you? Is that what you want your children to be? Or do you want your children to be gentlemen and ladies? Parents, I'm asking you. You want your children to follow your example. But they cannot force. They can only guide. They can only instruct. Sometimes yell. But at some point, like Krishna says to Arjuna, I've told you everything. Now you have to decide. And what did Arjuna say? Yes, I will do as you have instructed. Free will, and he uses his free will to surrender to Krishna. He does not misuse the free will. We also should not misuse our free will, but by our free will, we should come to the point and say to Krishna, yes, I will act according to your direction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This excerpt is from my favorite book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every day from my house at 12 o'clock, I do a Krishna book class and broadcast it on Mayapur TV. Some of those persons who attend every day, they joined us this evening. Some of them had to go to bed because they're in a different time zone. So there is one nice section called the Prayers by the Personified Vedas. Because the Vedas, there are persons who personify those Vedas. One time Prabhupada said, nothing is impersonal Everything is person. In the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world, the land is a person. We think this is a chair, but in the spiritual world, this chair is a person rendering service. Everything is conscious and personal in the spiritual world. So these Vedas, they are the personified Vedas. And they offer prayers to the Supreme Lord when He is awaking from His yoga nidra. And they recite these prayers. So I want you to listen with rapt attention. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is only one of the prayers. Dear Lord, it is very difficult to achieve perfect knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Your Lordship is so kind to the fallen souls that you appear in different incarnations and execute different activities. You even appear as a historical personality of this material world. And your pastimes are very nicely described in the Vedic literature. Such pastimes are as attractive as the ocean of transcendental bliss. People in general have a natural inclination to read narrations in which ordinary jivas are glorified. But when they become attracted by the Vedic scriptures, which delineate your eternal pastimes, that is when they actually dip into the ocean of transcendental bliss. Just as a fatigued man feels refreshed by dipping into a reservoir of water, so the conditioned soul, who is very much disgusted with material activities, the conditioned soul becomes refreshed and forgets all the fatigue of material activities simply by dipping into the transcendental ocean of your pastimes. And eventually, he or she merges into the ocean of transcendental bliss. The most intelligent devotees, therefore, do not take to any means of self-realization except devotional service or the constant engagement in the nine processes of devotional life, especially hearing, chanting. When hearing and chanting about your transcendental pastimes, your devotees do not even care for the transcendental bliss derived from liberation or from merging into the existence of the Supreme. Such devotees are not interested even in so-called liberation. And they certainly have no interest in material activities for elevation to the heavenly planets for sense gratification. Pure devotees seek only the association of Paramahansas, great liberated devotees, so that they can continuously hear and chant about your glories. For this purpose, the pure devotees are prepared to sacrifice all comforts of life, even giving up the material comforts of family life and so-called society, friendship, and love. Those who have tasted the nectar of devotion by relishing the transcendental vibration of chanting your glories, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such devotees do not care for any other spiritual bliss or for any material comforts, because these appear to the pure devotee as less important than the straw in the street. Let us all rise and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose name is
Krishna.
All right, I need someone to set up the microphone for Dvarakadish without breaking it.